to the faithful, to the faithful. In Luke 18, verse 8, Jesus asked this question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes back to this planet, and I think it's very, very soon, from the signs that we see in the Middle East, notice I didn't say in our country, notice I didn't say in Europe, I didn't say in Africa or South America. The main cooking pot on this planet is always the Middle East. It's always the Middle East. The Middle East is God's prophetic timepiece. So when you see what's happening in Israel, if it's cooking there, that means it's ramping up. It's ramping up. His coming is at the door. But when the Son of Man comes, is he going to find faith on the earth? And then in Proverbs 20, verse 6, Solomon asked, a faithful man who can find? Even as far back as that in biblical days, Solomon, this great king, is looking in his nation. He says, where's a faithful man? Who can find somebody that's really going to be faithful to the Lord and to the king? And then he says in Psalm 12:1, David tells us this, the faithful have vanished from among men. The faithful have vanished from among men. What a sad commentary that faithfulness on our part as men and women has vanished from the land. And then Hosea, this is awesome, in Hosea chapter 4, I love this. Hosea goes even deeper. He says, and think about this, see if you recognize any of this in our country today. Hosea writes about Israel at the time of his writing this. There's no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. You know, in our country today, if you want to acknowledge God, if you want to say, "Oh, I'm serving Jesus," you can't say the name of Jesus. You know, you can talk about Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, whoever you want to talk to, but don't talk about Jesus. Don't mention Jesus. There's no acknowledgement of God in the land, Hosea says. There's only cursing, lying and murder, stealing and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. We just left New Orleans, and in one night, they had 6 murders in one night, overnight in New Orleans. Now, that's what we left years ago. There were almost that many back then. When we came to Orlando 34 years ago, we thought this was Shangri-La. I mean, the first year we were here, I think there was one murder the whole year that we were here, our first year in Orlando. So we thought we had died and gone to heaven. But New Orleans and in our country today, bloodshed follows bloodshed. And then this verse, verse 3, because of this, the land mourns. The land literally dries up. The land dries up. We see fires all over. We're used to those in Florida. Now out west, that's every year now, all that stuff. But the land is literally drying up. And then he says, and all who live in it, all who live in the land, are wasting away, just wasting away. And you look at people's lives today, and there's so much anger. There's just discouragement and depression, and you just see in the faces of people that don't know the Lord, they're struggling. People's lives, they're wasting away. That's why people are turning to drugs. That's why people are turning to alcohol. It's why people turn to illicit sex and all these other things, because they're wasting away and they're looking for something, somebody to change it, make it different. Revelation 13:10, John adds this. He says, what we just read, this calls, all of this stuff we just read about, this calls for patient endurance and what? And faithfulness on the part of the saints. John the Rev, he says, this, all this stuff that's happening in the world, it calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. The Bible says, he that endures to the end, that's who's going to be saved. We're going to reap a harvest if we don't faint, if we don't quit, if we don't give up. Amen? Let's keep going. Let's keep plugging. Let's keep believing God. So we have to endure. We have to be faithful Everything that we see, everything that we've gone through in the past year, year and a half with this COVID, we've got to patiently endure it. We've got to be faithful through it and in it. It calls for those things, patience and endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. And then Paul adds this in 1 Corinthians 4:2. He says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's a requirement of God that you and I as believers are found faithful. God wants us to be faithful. So this morning we're talking about to the faithful. Now Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 11. I think this should be on the screen for you. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's begin at verse number 13. And Moses writes this. He says, so if, there's that if word, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then, there's the if then, that's throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. If you do these things, then, he says, I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains. Why? So that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and oil. And I will provide, I love that word, provide. God is still Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. Amen? He says, I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat, and you will be satisfied. I love that word, satisfied. There's nobody and nothing on this planet that can satisfy a hungry soul but Jesus. He's the one that satisfies. We can eat a good meal and our stomach is satisfied for a little while, but not for very long, right? We're ready to eat again at the next meal. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. You eat this bread, you drink this water. He says, and it'll spring up with you like a well. He satisfies. Jesus satisfies. This world will never satisfy you totally. You can have a little bit of peace, a little bit of happiness, a little bit of whatever from this world, but that's going to pass away. It's only temporary. But what God gives is eternal. Samuel tells us in 2 Samuel 22:26 concerning the Lord, he says, to the faithful, you're going to show yourself to be faithful. To the faithful, he says, I'll show myself to be faithful. God is he's great at honoring that word. I look at this congregation this morning and so many others that aren't here with us this morning that I recollect in all these 34 years that we've been here at New Life that, you know, you've been faithful. I know you guys are faithful people. I know your track record with the Lord, your track record with me and Kathy, your track record to this ministry. I've seen it over all these decades, and I've seen that to the faithful, your faithfulness, God has been faithful to you in return. We could all get up and give a testimony of the faithfulness of God in our lives. You know, we really could. And so in spite of struggles, in spite of whatever you might be going through, God is still faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. If he was faithful in the past, he's going to be faithful in the present, and he's going to be faithful in your future. Amen? We know that. You're mature enough in the Lord. You know that. So what does God's faithfulness look like? This is the meat here. Now, what does God's faithfulness look like? Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look and see. David writes in Psalm 31:23. You might want to write these down. I don't have these like numbered on the screen today, but just maybe write these down. You got a pen and paper in front of you there. Got a Bible if you don't have one. David says in Psalm 31:23, the Lord preserves the faithful. So what does God's faithfulness look like? It's a preservative. He preserves us in the midst of all the junk that life throws at us from time to time. God preserves us. He is a preservative to us. And then Psalm 37:28, he says, the Lord will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever. So second thing is, we're never forsaken. God does not forsake his faithful ones. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But then also the third thing, they will be protected forever. He's our protector. He is our protector. Amen? So He preserves, he never forsakes, and he always protects us forever. And then in Psalm 97:10, he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. So the next is, he guards us. The Bible says he's a shield all around about us. The Bible says the angels of the Lord encamp around about those of us that fear him, and they deliver us. We're delivered. So we're guarded. He guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers us from the hand of the wicked. We're guarded, and then we're also delivered. We're delivered. The wicked will not triumph over us. And then in Psalm 101, verse 6, he says, my eyes will be on the faithful. God's speaking there, obviously. He says, my eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. So the next one, my eyes. His eye is always on us. His eye is always on us. He never takes his eyes off of us. If he sees every sparrow that falls to the ground, and he takes note of that, he says, you're more valuable to me than many sparrows. His eye is always on us. Kathy used to sing a song years ago, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen? Old, old song. Then, but also he says, my eyes are on the faithful in the land. Why? So that they may dwell with me. From Genesis to Revelation, God's plan has always been and still is that he wants to dwell with us. In the Garden of Eden, he was with Adam and Eve. In Revelation, he says, I will be their God, they will be my people, and I will what? I'll dwell among them. Jesus, his advent, his coming to this earth as a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. He's always wanted to be with us and among us. And so he says, my eyes will always be on the faithful of the land so that they can dwell, they can reside, they can live with me and me with them. That's God's plan. One day, that's going to take place for us. We're going to dwell in a room in our Father's house. Years ago, Kathy and I met Ira Stanfill, great pastor and songwriter years ago from Fort Worth, Texas, pastored a large church there, and he wrote the old hymn, I've Got a Mansion Just Over the Hilltop. If you, those of you that are my age or around that, you know that song. Others may have never heard it, but anyway, it's an old, old song, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. Well, I don't want a mansion over the hilltop. I want what the NIV says, in my Father's house are many rooms. I just picture heaven as this huge house, and each one of us that know Jesus, we're going to have a room in our Father's house. I like that. I like that. I don't want a mansion. Don't give me a mansion. I want to live in a mansion by myself in heaven. I want to be with my family. I want to be with my dad and my older brother and all of my brothers and sisters. I want a room in our Father's house. Does that sound better than some mansion where you live by yourself? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I just picture that. So anyway, Ira's a good guy, but I think he got it wrong on the mansion part. I really want us to kind of focus on that. And so Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 2, this is good. He says, for the Lord gives wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, James says, let him ask of God. And he said, I'll give it to you liberally, and I won't upbraid you for asking. You can have wisdom, just ask. The Lord gives. I like that. God's a giver. God's not a withholder. He's a giver. He says, I want to give you wisdom. And from his mouth, the mouth of God, comes knowledge and understanding. He, God, holds victory in store for the upright. He, God, is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. You say, well, man, that excludes me because I know I'm not blameless. Well, guess what? The only blameless person that has ever lived on this planet was nailed to an old rugged cross. None of us are blameless. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. But that's why Jesus came. There was no way that any of us were good enough to go to heaven. That's why Jesus had to come. It's so simple. You know, it really is. Jesus came to bridge that gap where God's perfect standard is up here. And on my best day, I might be here. So Jesus bridges that gap for me. And on my worst days, I may be down here. Jesus still bridges that gap for me and for you. You know, it's not our performance, it's the performance of Jesus. Now, Paul asked the question, so does that mean that this liberty I have in Christ gives me the license to just sin and live any way I want to? And Paul answers it immediately. He says, no, but not by any means. No, not like that. He says, no, liberty is not license. Just because we have this freedom in Christ does not give us license to sin and live any way we want to. You know, that's bad theology. That's maybe like once saved, always saved, or that's like the doctrine of inclusion. That's not right. No. Everybody is not going to heaven. You know, Jesus told us that. You know, Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there's a lot of folks that are going that way. But Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And how many? Few there be that find it. So the crowd is not going to heaven. Jesus told us that already, so that's a done deal. But there's a few, there's a remnant, and God has always had a remnant. Aren't you glad about that? From Old Testament to New Testament, God has always had a remnant in every generation, in every situation, in every nation. God has always had a remnant of people that are going to serve God. Joshua said, I don't know what the rest of you guys are going to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. So men, on Father's Day, we need to step up and lead our families in the direction of heaven. So he is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. And Jesus is the one that makes us blameless. One day he's going to present us without fault before the Father in heaven. We're going to be blameless in the Father's eyes. And I want you to know, even right now, in spite of our sins and our failures and our faults and our shortcomings, when God looks at us because of Jesus, all he sees is the precious blood of Jesus that's been applied to our lives. He doesn't see the failures and faults and shortcomings. He doesn't see the junk. He sees Jesus. And so that's what bridges the gap for us. That's what makes us blameless, because when God looks at us, he just sees Jesus. You know, he doesn't see the stuff in our lives. Now, again, you got to keep this up to date. You know, you can't live for God one day and then not live for him another day. You know, you got to be consistent. It's got to be an up-to-date experience. Just because you knelt at an altar 30 years ago doesn't mean that you're living the life maybe today. So there's a balance. There's always balance in Scripture. Don't just yank a Scripture here and a Scripture there, but let's find the balance from Genesis to Revelation. Let's find the balance in every subject. And you guys know we've tried to do that all these years. And so then he says in verse 8, he, God, guards the course of the just. And then finally this other thought about faithfulness. He protects the way of his faithful ones. Okay? There's that protection factor again. He protects the way, the walk of his faithful ones. And then in Proverbs 28:20, he writes this, a faithful man will be richly blessed. So there's another one there. You're going to be richly blessed if you're a faithful person. If you're faithful to God, you're going to be richly blessed. The Bible talks about, you know, in Genesis, the names of Joseph's two sons. After everything that Joseph had been through with his brothers, his father's house, Egypt, Potiphar, jail, prison, and then finally to the palace in Egypt, Joseph goes. And he has the two sons that are born to Joseph in Egypt. And that first son, Manasseh, is the Hebrew for forget. He said, because God has made me forget all the junk that happened in my past. Some of you need to let the Holy Spirit wipe out your past in your mind, change your thinking, transform your mind, forget about the past and press forward like Paul talked about. The second son he named Ephraim. Ephraim is the Hebrew for twice fruitful or doubly blessed. And so he says, because I named him Ephraim because God has blessed me in the very place that I suffered the most, God has blessed me. I love that. Right where you've been hurt the most by someone or something, some event, God can make you twice fruitful. He can make you doubly blessed in the very place, in the very whatever circumstance that you were hurt, God can doubly bless you right where you are. You don't have to get better to come to God. You don't have to do better to come to God. You come just like you are, and God can bless you in the midst of your hurt, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your loss or grief or whatever you may be going through, whatever is in your mind. God can doubly bless you in spite of it. In spite of it, God can do that. There's kind of a holy hush settling on us here this morning. So let's finish up here. A faithful man is going to be richly blessed. Jesus tells us in Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death. Here's the last one. And I'm going to give you a crown of life. Be faithful unto death, and I'm going to give you, again, God's a giver. I'm going to give you a crown of life. We're also going to get a new name that nobody else is going to know. God's going to give us a new name. Be faithful unto death, and I'm going to give you a crown of life. And let's finish it up with this. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. This is a great chapter to read this afternoon at your convenience. It starts off with the signs of the coming of the Lord, the signs of the end of the age. And then it progresses to how that day and that hour is unknown. None of us knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to come back. That's why when all these folks try to predict the coming of the Lord and they pick a date and it never happens, it's never going to happen on a date that somebody picks, because you don't know the day and you don't know the hour. Only God knows that. Only God knows that. But in that chapter, I want us to skip down to verse number 42. Verse number 42, and we're talking still about faithfulness now, our faithfulness to the Lord. So verse 42 of Matthew 24 says this, therefore keep watch. Guys, let's keep our eyes open. Let's keep our spiritual eyes and our physical eyes open to what's happening in the world around us, because you don't know on what day your Lord is going to come. But understand this, he says, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready. Two phrases so far. Keep watch, be ready. Keep watch, be ready. Why? Because the Son of Man is going to come at an hour when you don't expect him if you're not watching and if you're not ready. But if you're watching and you stay ready, you're going to be good. Because the Word also tells us, those of us that know the Lord, he says that day should not take you by surprise, because you're watching and you're ready and you're in tune and you're in touch and you're in step with the Holy Spirit. So the coming of Jesus is not going to catch saved people off guard. We still don't know the day and we don't know the hour, but we see the signs. And that's what Matthew 24 is about. Read that today. Signs of the end of the age and the coming of Christ. It's just around the corner. Why? Because of what's happening in Israel right now. Netanyahu looks like he's out. These new guys are coming in. They've brought in an Arab person as well as a coalition government. That's not going to last. That's not going to last. They're never going to give land for peace. That's not going to happen, because God gave the land to Israel. We've got an Israeli flag up here for a reason. We're strong believers in the nation of Israel. That's God's chosen people. Paul says we've been grafted in. We're Jewish now because we've been grafted into the natural tree. Amen? Amen. Okay. And so we have to be careful here. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you don't expect him. Here's the key. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? God wants us to be faithful, and God wants us to be wise. Jesus said, be wise as serpents, be harmless as doves. That's the balance we have to strike in this ungodly world in which we live. And in our nation, where we continue to decline morally, and we're supposed to be accepting of lifestyles that are non-biblical lifestyles, we have to find the balance of, like Jesus, loving the sinner but hating the sin. We cannot condone these lifestyles, but we have to love these people into the kingdom of God. You can't condemn them into the kingdom. You can't tongue lash them into the kingdom. You got to love them into the kingdom. You know, but we don't have to condone their lifestyles. We still call sin sin, but we love the sinner. And if they know that we're coming to them from a heart of love and a motive of love, and that we want them to go to heaven with us, then that's different. They can accept a hard word from us, maybe, you know, if we love them. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, by the love you have for one another. That's one thing I've always loved about our church, is that we've got a love for one another. We've got a track record with one another. So who is the faithful and the wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I like that word when, because there's a day when Jesus is coming back. There's a day when that master of that house was going to come back. He's going to return. Verse 47, I tell you the truth. That master of the house will put him in charge of all of his possessions. Now let's piggyback that thought into chapter 25. And I promise this is the last scripture. 25th chapter of Matthew. And let's go to verse number 20. And we're going to tie into what we just read. This is the talent. This is the parable about the talents, where Jesus tells the story where they gave one guy five talents, another guy two talents, another person one talent. You know that story. So the man, in verse 20, the man who had received the five talents brought five more that he had earned, gained for his master. And he says, Master, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I've gained five more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Guys, the goal of our lives is to hear this verse, verse 21, spoken over our lives individually when we stand before the Lord. We all want to hear him say, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. King James says, come and enter into the joy of your Lord. And what is joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen.